You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust,
except for us. Right.
You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on FM News Talk 92.3. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome to another edition of the Computer Corner. 10, 12, I don't know, 13, maybe even a dozen years, I can't remember.
Been that many, huh?
Spending Saturday afternoon with you to try to help you with your technology. It is the Data Doctor group that comes in every week. This week it's Ken Colburn, Taylor Colburn. Right?
Right.
You're going to participate this time.
Definitely.
And Brian Ellison.
Thank you.
Data Doctor's du jour. So we're open to any kind of issue you might have with your technology, as we are every week. You can use that old analog POTS line, P-O-T-S. You know what POTS stands for, Taylor?
No idea.
POTS. Plain old telephone service. It's a POTS line. It's a really dial-up. It's old, analog, instead of text messaging.
Yeah.
602-277-5827. 602-277-KTAR. If you're a pirate out there.
Pirate show.
I was just going through the show emails, and there's still people asking questions about, well, is it still pirating if I download music but I don't share it? And I was like, so if you're one of those that's still struggling with downloading music legally, illegally, gray or whatever, it's 602-277-KTAR for all you pirates out there. Otherwise, you can join us in today's theme. I think this is one that, we often refer to users helping users. And this absolutely is something that we need your help on. And that is, what are you using to figure out what you're going to be buying this year? You're online shopping. And when I say shopping, I don't mean necessarily buying. You don't have to necessarily buy anything to be using the internet for online shopping. It is simply a matter of understanding the resources that are out there. So those of you that have been out there for a while doing this, please contribute your experiences about online shopping, because this is really where, we have a limited amount of time to shop on our own. We have our own favorites. We'll bring that to the table. In fact, those things are posted at our website, datadoctors.com. If you look at the radio show section, you will see the resources at the bottom of the various things that we think are going to be helpful for you. But, of course, as the show goes on and we get some really good suggestions from all of you, either through the mail or through our feedback lines there, you can click on Ask a Question, or if you have a general comment, you can submit that through the website. If you have a cool shopping site that you'd like us to talk to you to the rest of the world about, educate the world on this, we're here for you. That's what it's all about. And, of course, we're going to go into more detail this week. We didn't really give you much time last week, Taylor.
30 seconds.
Yeah, I gave you 30 seconds, and we're out. talk about this pinger service that at first blush, when you first told me about it, it was okay, whatever. It's like text messaging, but you don't text, you use your voice. And then I got to thinking about it. There's laws on the books now. They're going after people that are text messaging in their car.
Yeah, okay? Most certainly.
And a lot of people like to text message because it's not a I don't need to talk to you right now. I need to dump my ideas on you or just say whatever I had to say, and we can continue the conversation later. So this pinger service does what, Taylor?
It's a service that you call a certain number after you set up an account, and you call that number, and what it'll do is it'll record your voice. It'll ask you what number you want to dial, and you dial in that number, and then it'll ask you to say that person's name, first and last. So you say the first and last, and then from then on, every time you call that number, it will automatically recognize that name and send that message to that person, the specific person.
So you have a little setup involved. You have to get in there,
right,
and say, okay, this is this person, this is their number.
Right.
So, but once you set all that up, then you could be driving down the road and say, I want to send a text message or I want to send something.
Right. And if you put it on, like, your speed dial or something, instead of, like, whipping out and going through your contacts list, which is potentially hazardous.
Right.
You can just hold the two down and call Pinger and pretty much just send a message to multiple people.
Okay, and then there's no waiting through. It's not like voice messaging where you hit a button and then you hit another button and try to get this. Okay,
it's not that much of a pain. It's really you just call it and makes a little like ding noise and then like who do you want to message and pretty much just from there, you just say the person's name and record your message, and then you close your phone, it automatically sends it.
So the bottom line is you can interact with these people without having to press a bunch of buttons and do a bunch of extra things. Okay. So check that at pinger.com, P-I-N-G-E-R.com, which will, once you set it up, will give you the opportunity to send information or message to somebody without all those interruptions. The cool thing about text messaging is it just kind of gives you a little vibration, gives you something.
Right.
And it doesn't, somebody doesn't have to pick up the phone in the middle of class.
Right.
Or in the middle of a meeting, that kind of thing. Right?
Right.
You can also send the same voice message. Like,
to multiple people.
Hey, everybody, meet me at such and such park or whatever.
Right. Right?
And you can send it to a whole group of people.
I don't know what the limit is, but if you have them in your contacts list or you just want to dial the numbers, all you have to do is, if you're sitting there and you want to send a message to, 50 people,
mm-hmm.
you just got to know 50 numbers and you can type them in and send it to that many people.
What happens on the person that would normally get a text message or a voice message? What happens on their end?
They get a text message and it says, Taylor Colburn has sent you a Pinger message. Call this callback number. And when they call that callback number, what it'll do is it'll play that message.
Whatever you left for them.
Right. Whatever you left for them. And it's, on some of the phones, like some of my friends' phones, when they do it, they accidentally, like, the number turns green for them to select, so it dials it. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to just, like, leave it unselected and press the green button to find the callback. Because for some reason, it's completely different on certain phones. I don't know.
I don't know. Some are capable of figuring out that it's a phone number. Some aren't. So, all right. So, again, it's free service, right?
Right.
So, it takes a while to really understand why you might want to use this. But there are situations where it might make a lot of sense. It's free. That's Taylor's little tip for the last couple of weeks. It's also in this week's newsletter.
Right.
If you happen to be a subscriber, you can, it's the very first link on there. And you also have, those of you that are not subscribers, can go right to our website, datadoctors.com, click on the free help center, and you'll see down towards the bottom right-hand side where you can subscribe, or if you missed this week's newsletter, you click on the newsletter archive, and you can actually see the last 10 or 12 copies with all the information in there. Or those of you that have tried to join our newsletter list, and your ISP just filters out anybody that does mass mailings, which does happen. So we see those in our inbox quite often. So that's another way for you to get that information. Also, those of you, and again, thank you for those that spoke up when the Tribune stopped carrying my column on Monday. All you Tribune subscribers, they moved me to Sunday. The Sunday business section now has our weekly advice column. So check all those things out again at datadoctors.com, including this week's resources, which it's shop till you drop time, right?
Right.
there's a shopper in our house that's got some ideas too, right? Excuse me. Yeah, there's all kinds of good information out there when it comes to this. And everything from comparison sites, so you can go to one site and say, show me what everybody's selling this particular item for.
Right.
Find the lowest price.
Price ranges.
And then, of course, you want to do your homework to figure out, are these people legitimate,
right,
those kinds of things. So we're going to learn a whole lot more about that when we come back. But right now, before you can get to your real world shopping, you got to be able to get through traffic and weather. And boy, do we have some weather to talk about this week. Steve-O, what's going on with the weather and the traffic out there? It's that time of year, folks. It's shopping time. And I think the Internet's had a little something to do with how we shop these days, and that's what we want to talk about today. Those of you that have something to contribute can do so via the call-in line, 602-277-5827, or via our website, datadoctors.com. Give us your suggestions on great holiday shopping sites, whether they are, like we've got our comparison shopping sites, like Price Grabber, Price Watch. A lot of people have heard of Craigslist, but they've never actually used it. We've actually bought a couple cars here in the recent past from Craigslist. Yeah. Well, you basically just get in touch with people in your local area that have things to sell. So
I understand how it works, but it's basically like just a localized eBay almost.
No, it is a classified ads system that is localized. Because eBay's not local.
Right, that's true.
Now you got to worry about stuff being shipped around. Craigslist, you're basically looking for people in your area.
Just the meat, right.
And the stuff that you're looking for in that area, whether you're looking for a job or whatever. But I mean, if you're looking to buy something, especially something hard to get or unique item or something that's used,
right.
You're going to use instruments or used cars or anything like that. Not sure if a used car is a good holiday gift, but it might be. I mean, there's somebody out there maybe looking. So you need to learn about those things. And then also, you know, all of the online security shopping tips. There's, you know, a whole lot to be concerned about when it comes to online shopping. You know, make sure you understand the rules of the road so that people don't take advantage of you there. So let's see. Where is this? Where did I go here? I have Stuart.
Hey, guys.
You actually have something to share about PayPal?
Yeah, recently I've won a bid on a particular item on eBay, replacement series satellite radio receiver, because the one I have now, the remote doesn't work, so I figured I'd get a replacement exact same model. But PayPal would not acknowledge my Visa debit card information, would not acknowledge my checking account information, wouldn't acknowledge anything, and eBay just doesn't understand why it is either.
You're talking about your PayPal account. They're not able to resolve the fact that that's your account.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably going to have to send a money order and order information back to the merchant physical address to obtain my one bid.
Well, is this a merchant that's an individual, or is it an actual merchant?
It's an actual merchant.
Because a lot of those guys also do have credit card processing capability.
Well, I've already inquired about that particular...
And as a matter of fact, as a side note, for those of you that are kind of new to eBay, that's one of the things you can look for that'll help you make a decision in a lot of cases, whether you even want to try to bid on something, because that gives you another option as opposed to just PayPal.
Well, I've already inquired with them through...
Right. No, I'm just saying before you decide to actually bid on, I'm talking about for people, not in your situation, for other people.
Right.
What about, did PayPal or the folks at eBay suggest maybe set up another PayPal account?
Probably have to cancel the PayPal account and set up a fresh one. And I've already inquired with the merchant as to whether or not I could telephone and Visa debit directly with them, and they didn't have that faculty. So it'll probably have to be the money order item number and my username on eBay.
Yeah, just be very careful. Make sure that the individual you're buying from has credibility that you're willing to do that, because once you do that, you're out there flapping in the wind.
Yeah, definitely, especially with the weather the way it is.
I would strongly recommend that you try to get a secondary PayPal account set up as quickly as possible so that you could continue to use that.
All righty, guys. Thanks, and you have a nice weekend.
Hey, you have a safe and... very safe when it comes to eBay holiday as well. I mean, unfortunately, when it comes to online auctions, it's the number one generator of complaints, fraud complaints, because there's so many guys that are out there in the weeds that are a little questionable, a little sketchy.
A little bit of freaks.
Yeah, and you can't just go by, oh, heck, they got a lot of good got a lot of good rankings and feedback from others, because they can actually just have a bunch of other people in their crime ring, put up good things to say about
them.
Reviews and say this.
What you gotta do is just take pictures of stars and put five of them next to each other. Like, hey, we're a 5-star website.
No,
shop
I mean,
with us.
Well, it's really the rating is how did this person do in the past and what have you. So, those are things that you if you're going to shop on eBay, make absolutely sure you take the time to learn all about. The do's and don'ts, if you will. And again, there's alternatives to that, those types of sites. Like I said, Craigslist is an interesting one because it gives you the opportunity to find somebody in a local area where you can literally go physically to a location, physically get the product, physically make the exchange.
Right.
As opposed to, you know.
Getting gypped by.
Or just computer. Hoping that the stuff shows up, right? It's like, I sent the money order. There are a bazillion scams out there for all of that. There's a whole bunch of different ways that people can fool you on the web. And understanding how to investigate these folks and understanding where to go to get an external review of these websites that you've never heard of. The ones you've heard of are pretty obvious. The ones you haven't are the ones you have to be careful on. So, again, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see all the resources we put up on there, including some very unique places to find holiday gifts. If you're looking for those unique gifts, there's some interesting links up there. One of my favorites of all time, and if you're one of those that's, oh, it's too complicated, I don't want to do all these, how about a website where there's only one thing for sale, and it's on there. Ah, the sounds of the holidays. You're going to hear it in the stores. You're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to hear it on television. You're going to hear it
in our car. When
probably,
your mom's playing.
Yeah, when you're in your car with your mom. And you're probably going to hear it when you go to some websites that think, you know, music is a good thing on a website. But it is that time of the year where most of us are really thinking in terms of gifts, shopping, buying things.
So, food.
Food. No, that's just you all the time. That's part of being 14, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Food. Before we went to break, I told you about, those of you that are a little hesitant to get into the online shopping because it's a little complicated and, I can't navigate the stuff and find anything. I've got a starter site for you. What could be easier than having a website where there's one thing on sale and it's only for sale that one day?
What could it be?
Every single day they have something new, but it's one item, one day.
Do they have, like, different items that are one item?
Yeah, it's different items every day.
No, like, but I'm saying, like, literally the entire site just has one item.
One item, like today.
Like, out of all the items, it's just like, you want a box of donuts for $5?
No. You can buy, for instance, today. See, what they want you to do is look at their website every day and go, oh, there's something cool. See? It's a different way of doing it as opposed to you going to their website once a year and looking at 365 things all at once. They're saying, look at 365 things over the next 365 days.
Personally, after 3 days, I would get tired of just looking
at it. You would be surprised. This website has a big following because they do have some pretty... What they do is they go find special deals or one-time buy kind of stuff. And then so today's is an early warning laser and radar detector for $39.95 plus $5 shipping.
The
laser detector for $40. Huh?
What exactly is that? Like,
just, you know, for people that like to drive really fast but try to get warned that there's a police in my office?
So they just buy those boxes that barely work?
Well, I mean, you know, it's buyer beware from that standpoint. But there's 170 comments about that particular product already. So there's a community that also talks about this stuff. So you can go and see, okay, what are other people saying about this?
That's crazy.
It's called, the website is Woot, W-O-O-T. I've talked about this before on the air, but... It's a little more appropriate this time of year. Woot, WOOT.com. By the way, I mentioned something about that they plainly put in there plus $5 shipping. Shipping is one of the most common places where these online sites will fool you into thinking you're getting a good deal. They'll give you a great price on the product, but then...
Like $50 in shipping.
They'll make it up on the other end with the cost of the shipping, right? They inflate that, or they have shipping and handling fees. You also need to check to see if you return the product. Whose responsibility is it to ship back? Well, 9 times out of 10, it's yours, so it's on your dime to send it back. And so understand all of those things before you make that purchase. I think the majority of people out there are actually using the internet to learn about products, to make a decision, and also figure out what the going rate is so that maybe they go to somebody that they're a little more comfortable with.
Well, at least the smart ones.
Well, I mean, it's just a good way to understand what the going rate is on a particular product.
Right.
But there are going to be things that are, you know, it's nice to be able to just click a few buttons and boom, the stuff shows up.
Right.
When it works.
When it works.
Closer we get to the holiday seasons, I would tell you right now, if you're going to be buying stuff online that's going to get shipped to your home so that you can package it and put it in, let's say if we're talking about specifically Christmas, your cutoff's going to be around the 19th, maybe the 20th, depending upon how the weekend lays out in there. And after that, you're taking your chances trying to order online.
Right.
Ordering things online requires you to be early. You need to be doing it now so that you have a lot of time. So in case you get something and they ship the wrong product, it gets delayed, all of those things, you've got time.
It also depends a lot of what shipping you choose, because there's, you know, the normal shipping, which is like 5 to 8 business days, and then there's like the express shipping where it's like 2 days.
And it'll cost you a lot more, right?
Right.
Yeah, so
right.
That's why now's the time that you use the slow boat to China shipping, which is cheaper,
right.
Gives you time to make sure everything's cool. It gives you time to return it if you need to. Let's see if we can help Joe real quick with a Internet Explorer question. Joe, what's going on in your world? Actually, before we help you, would you please help my audience with some suggestion on something you've done on the Internet that that you find particularly useful when it comes to shopping?
I use very similar to what you do. I use the Internet more as a price comparison to give me a gauge of what things should be when I'm actually going into the stores. So I get an idea of, you know, can I get a much better deal or is it just right around the correct price when I'm going into an actual big box shop or someplace that's a brick and mortar.
And what about, is there a particular site that you like to use for those comparisons, or do you just get on the Internet and start searching in Google?
Yeah, you know, I obviously, oftentimes I just start in Google and kind of go with the, you know, flat screen TVs or, you know, small electronics or something like that and kind of start from there and just start clicking around.
Well, make sure and check out our links because there's some sites that I think will greatly streamline that, like Price Grab or some of these other, where you just go down through the categories and they've already, they have an aggregate of all the major online retailers.
Great.
And also ratings to make sure that they're legitimate retailers. So that's another thing we talk about, going to trusted sources. So what's going on with your Internet Explorer? Because if that's not working, you can't do no shopping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I have a computer that's about 3 years old. It's got it's an HP. It's got an AMD XP chip, 512 RAM, and I'm running XP. I also have Norton Internet Security on it running. And I do not have a wireless router, so I'm plugging just right into a normal modem.
So is it a DSL or cable?
Cable.
Okay, so your machine's connected directly to the cable modem.
Correct.
Okay, so your only line of defense at this point is that Internet Security Firewall.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So I use my computer for basic office products and some Internet browsing, and I would say over the last 6 months, my Internet Explorer, you know, when I double-click on it to start running it, it takes a good 15, 20 seconds before the browser actually pops up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a disk defrag. I, you know, kind of went to add and remove programs. It took as much of the junk out of it. And I actually moved to Mozilla Firefox, and it's improved a little bit. But the performance is still pretty slow, and I'm just wondering, I've done some research. Is it Norton Internet Security that's slowing it down? You know, what are my options? Because obviously I want to stay secure, but I'd like to improve the performance of the computer.
Absolutely. Well, we're not big fans of that Norton Internet Security, only from the standpoint of the resources and the footprint. It just takes so much to be able to run all that, and it's a lot of extra stuff that, you know, we like the antivirus product. That's fine.
Okay.
As long as it's a newer machine. There was another call that I took earlier that was, you know, if you have older machines and you use newer security software, a lot of times that'll just burden the machine to the point where it just doesn't function well.
Well, am I at the point where I need a new computer?
No. That's generally not the issue. It's usually the operating system needs to be cleaned up. So the two things that I'd suggest is if you suspect that Norton Internet Security is causing some of the performance issue, you don't have to uninstall it. Just try disabling it temporarily.
Okay.
Right, to see if that has any impact on the performance.
Okay.
The other thing is, we've talked about this a bunch of times, one of the first things we want to do when a customer brings a computer to our shops, we want to know how many processes are actually running. So you just do a clean boot and then do a Control-Alt-Delete to bring up the task manager, and bottom left-hand corner, it'll tell you exactly how many processes are running.
I believe I have somewhere in the 60s.
Okay, that's about 20 more than I'd like to see if it was my machine.
Okay.
So there's probably 20 extra things. The 20 extra balls that are being juggled in the air by Windows, which would definitely have an impact on when you say, okay, Mr. Windows, please launch my Internet Explorer for me. And he's like, oh, hang on, and then here's your Internet Explorer. That's
so
exactly.
How do I research which ones are junk and which ones I need?
It's a fairly complex process that you can, it sounds like you're fairly comfortable with Google, so you can basically go look up each process in Google to figure out what it's associated with and if it's something that you can remove. At the end of the day, a lot of this gets to registry level cleanup, which that is not for the novice. You can really do some damage in the registry. So I've written several columns on it. If you go to our free help, the free help section of our website, datadoctors.com, go to free help center.
Okay.
Just type in processes.
Okay.
Or task manager, any of those, you'll see all the different articles that are in there. And there's some very specific articles with very specific suggestions about how to start to look at those processes. And if you're willing to take the time to figure it out, then, you know, you can start to track that down. But, if you get those other extra 20 processes out of there, the thing will boot faster. Because right now it's having to load all 60 processes every time you start your machine.
Got it.
So that's why, But a lot of people don't really think about it. But, you know, when I got this machine, it booted up pretty quick, and it ran real well, and today it doesn't.
Okay, can I ask one last question?
Sure.
What about Windows Firewall relative to Norton Internet Security?
Norton Internet Security, the firewall that's built in, is going to have more technical capabilities than the Windows Firewall. But since you're on a cable modem, forget about either one of those as being your primary protection. Go spend a few bucks and go get a broadband router.
Okay.
They're not that expensive. And that's going to create a real hardware component between you and the rest of the world as opposed to this piece of software.
So I have an old, probably about 2 years old, I have a wireless router that I could just plug in through that. Should I put that back up then?
Yeah, the wireless part's secondary. That just allows that's another way to connect to this router. What you want is the protection that the router gives you because it does what's called a network address translation. It takes the public address and then hides you behind it with a private address so that nobody can see your physical machine. Right now, if somebody wanted to, the most desirable candidates for the hackers on the Internet are the people that have no firewall and they're connected directly to a cable modem or DSL or something like that where it's always on because that machine can literally be seen by everybody on the Internet.
Got it.
Okay. So as soon as you start to put firewalls and things in, you're masking your identity, if you will. So you got this little invisibility cloak by putting this piece of software on, but they know how to defeat that if they want to.
Sure.
Not that they're.
So maybe
I mean,
a combination of router and Windows firewall, would that be sufficient, you think?
Generally speaking, that's going to be a good combination because it's inexpensive. It's light on its feet. It doesn't really overbear it's not an overbearing layer there with the. Some firewalls can be very overbearing, including every time you try to do something, it says, wait, do you want me to do this or not? And, you know, it's asking you something technical that you don't necessarily know how to answer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem with a lot of these software programs. It's not that they don't do a good job. But you got to balance usability with what it's doing for you,
you know.
So by putting that hardware firewall in, put that router back in, especially since you already own it.
Got it.
That's a much better security device. Try disabling. I mean, yeah, I gave you like 12 homework assignments here.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's a Saturday. That's why I'm asking today. It's great. Good.
Yeah, but you may be working on this through the end of tomorrow evening too. There's a lot to do there, you know. So, but anyway, check those resources out. But anybody out there, if you've noticed that your machine is slow, the first thing you need to do, it's not technical, just do a Control-Alt-Delete. That'll bring up your task manager. Look in the bottom left-hand corner. And if it's a desktop and it's more than 40 processes, if it's a laptop and more than 45 processes, especially if it's 15 or 20 more, somebody needs to look at that and really figure out why are all these extra processes running? Because a lot of times, you know, these guys have gotten really good at sneaking into your machine, right? And you're not going to know it. It's not like in the past when they infected your machine with a hack or a virus, they'd jump up in your face and go, ha-ha, I gotcha. They want to make absolutely sure that they stay silent in the background because a lot of these people are trying to figure out a way to steal your identity. Okay, so that's another concern when you see that many processes. Just make sure you don't have that.
Got it.
And by the way, one other thing, since we're going down this path, Joe, if in fact you start doing the research and you see a process that's been identified as a potential worm or a potential Trojan or any of these malicious programs, if you do any kind of online banking, anything at all where you went online and you went to some really important thing like a financial site, and you're logged in, you put your password in, and you do your banking, go to a completely different machine, come to one of our stores, do whatever, get on a completely different machine and change your passcode.
Got it.
Okay, because that means there's a chance that somebody in Bulgaria, in the Philippines, somewhere out there has your information and can start taking advantage of you. This is one of the ways that they're doing it.
Thank you very much for the help. I appreciate it.
Good luck, and hopefully you're not up all night.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
All right. I think we took care of Joe's traffic problem. Now let's take care of everyone else's traffic problem with Steve Ludwig. Steve, what's going on out there in the streets? And welcome back to the Shop Till You Drop edition of the Computer Corner. We're trying our very best to provide you with resources and links and uses of the Internet that could be of some assistance here this time of year. It is, 39.99 for a radar detector. Woot, there you go. One thing. That's it. My shopping's over.
I'm definitely going to use that.
You shop one for 5 minutes every day. There you go. And you got how many days before the holidays, right? Before you have to give all the gifts away, depending upon how you celebrate this time of year. So if you just use Woot every day, right? Hopefully you can find a $39, $40 radar detector. Is a pocket, I mean, a stocking stuffer or something, right?
Or you can just get your sister a grow boyfriend.
But see, you and I know what that means, but nobody else does.
Nobody else.
You could just add water. They also have Wine Woot, which, depending upon where you are in the country that you're listening to this, you can't necessarily always buy wine online, but they have a similar thing for wine, and then it looks like some things for clothing and just all kinds of interesting things on the internet. If you join us online at datadoctors.com, click on the radio show section. You can see all of the resources we posted, including the one to Woot. And what's cool is if you don't like today's price or product,
just see it tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow. You can also call in 602-277-5827. Got some open lines there. We'd love to hear from those of you that are avid online shoppers that have had good and bad experiences with all of the things that are out there that that the average user might run across. There's a new way that you can buy things online or check out online. Google has a product called Checkout.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's a free account. What you do, it's just kind of like PayPal. Now, Keith emailed in and asked a question about PayPal because it sounds like he's not that familiar with it. He says it was inferred on the show that just moments ago that using PayPal to pay for something can protect you from fraudulent eBay or other vendors' transactions. Not sure how that works. Could you please explain? I know if I use a credit card to pay for something from a merchant, and I can file a complaint with the credit card company. However, in the above, the credit card transaction is to PayPal. And PayPal to the merchant, and if I understand it, so I would have no recourses through the credit card company. So, yes, you are correct. You would not have a recourse through the credit card company necessarily, Keith. But PayPal does have some dispute resolution processes. The idea behind PayPal was when you make a purchase with somebody you don't know, you typically give them your credit card number, which means they now have that credit card number.
Which means they can go off on a shopping spree.
If they're a legitimate company, obviously they protect that information. If they're not, you just never know. Since you don't know who you're dealing with on the internet, that was the idea. Is let's create a way to kind of mask the fact, I'm going to use my credit card in the end to make this purchase, but I'm going to hide the information about the credit card from the buyer, from the seller, but give them a way to get their funds, and then PayPal also kind of becomes this go-between, right? Almost like a clearinghouse for both sides of the transaction. And if everybody is legitimate, it works out great. It's when one side or the other is playing fraudulent games that you have to be careful, and PayPal is not a 100% guarantee that you're not going to be taken. There's lots and lots of discussions on the internet about how PayPal has or has not helped folks. It is the de facto standard for eBay, so much so that eBay actually went out and bought it. So those kinds of services are giving you a different level of security as opposed to your credit card number. I suggest, only because in the early days, there was not a whole lot of protection for internet purchases when it came to your credit cards. These days, credit card companies are very aware of these things. So I'd like to find websites, auctions, anything like that, where they are willing to take a credit card, which means they've taken the time and money and effort to set up what's called a merchant account that costs money to do. That means they're doing business on a regular basis. The likelihood of them being legitimate goes up. The fact that they can process credit cards because it's just like a legitimate store. So keep that in mind as you're looking around. But also, Google's checkout account basically allows you to put all this into Google's checkout account, keep it a secret, if you will, from everyone, and just use that to make your purchases all over the internet for any of the websites that participate with Google, so that you just click a button and say, I want to use my checkout account. You don't have to fill out your home address and the billing address. All that's already in your Google checkout account. So it speeds things up quite a bit. So power shoppers probably should consider that as well. We got another hour of...
You touch a key and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust.
Except for us.
Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on FM News Talk 92.3. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
The data doctors are in the house. Actually, it's Ken Colburn and Taylor Cullum. Cullum?
What is wrong with you?
Taylor Cullum. Wow. Freudian slip. Taylor Colburn. my 14-year-old son, who is working towards knowing more about just about everything than me, huh?
Pretty much.
Doesn't take much these days. Join us online, if you would, at datadoctors.com, and check out the resources we've posted for comparison shopping. For our theme this week is online shopping resources. We're trying to bring some tools and ideas and thoughts to you that that maybe you hadn't heard of. For instance, there's a website called Oodle, OODLE.com.
And what is all these, like, sound words, like onomatopoeia, like... It's just random.
Well, no, because they have to find a website that's not been taken.
Oodle.
They got to make up their own words, or else. I mean, where do you think Google came from?
True.
All the other one was, you know, the good ones were taken. What Oodle does is it scans classified internet ads, and you can tell it to scan those ads within your area. So it's like a different version of Craigslist, because it's not looking at one. It's not one site where everything is. It's actually scanning all the different internet classifieds. And you can say, but I'm looking for this product in this market, and it'll scan all the classifieds and tell you if somebody's out there that has that. One of my wife's favorite sites for finding unique idea gift ideas is a website called gifts.com, oddly enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and they have all of those. And what was the other tip that Mom gave us today for the show?
Something about coupons and searching on Google. She was just weird.
No, she wasn't weird. It made perfect sense. When you know you want to buy something from a particular place, particular company,
right,
before you make the purchase, just take the extra time to go and open up a Google session and search for a coupon. So type coupon space the name of that particular company that you're buying from, just to see if there's something that's out there that you can use to redeem.
I actually found a $30 off Target coupon once when I was looking through stuff. Couldn't actually use it because obviously I don't have money right now.
But you may be able to get rebates and those kinds of things by doing that. Just take a look at that and see if there's a way. There's another website that's been rated the best rewards site out there. So the rewards for buying through them, you get some of them give you cash back, some of them give you gift cards, and that kind of thing. This one's been rated the best for 2 years as far as the percentage of what you get back. It's called Bond Rewards. I'm going to have to actually put that up on our links. Bondrewards.com. So you can use their system to make purchases and get rewards points at all the major retailers and everybody. You'll see all the participating locations that they have. But if you're looking for a little extra from you, if you do a lot of online shopping and you want to get a little something back for it, that's one of the ones that's been much more highly rated, more bestest, than like Ebates and some of these others that are pretty well known. So it's bondrewards.com, and I'll put that link up.
Don't they have later like the stats of everything too on the bottom left hand corner, which is like the percentage showing?
That was just a comparison chart that they're professing how much better they are than everyone else. They show the percentage of reward that you get for making purchases at certain vendors. So it's a way to really separate all those guys out. But, you know, if you're already buying online a lot, it doesn't cost anything to sign up for these things. You get those rewards. So they're just trying to get you to buy through their mechanism because they get a little something on it and everybody wins.
And what do the rewards consist of?
Bonds is actually savings bonds. That's the reward part is you accumulate savings bonds. So, and if you think about it, that's
a lot.
That makes it cheaper for them because they spend less money on the face value of the savings bond until it matures. So they're bringing the government into this thing.
Sweet.
So it'll take a little longer for that maturity, but, yeah, you get a little more for your money.
Right.
Hey, John, thanks for holding. Do you use the internet for any kind of online shopping? Any sites you want to share with our fine audience?
Actually, not much for shopping, usually for information searching.
Research? Are there particular resources you tend to go to, or is it always just jump onto Google and get after it?
Mostly it's like automotive-type sites and all.
Do you have a favorite automotive site when it comes to making purchases or doing research?
I use a couple. Racing Junk is one.
What is it called?
Racing Junk.
Racing Junk.
Yes.
Racing is it racingjunk.com?
That's an attractive name.
That's it. Yeah. That's a lot of performance parts. So.
Yeah. That's. You know what? I'm gonna have to go check that. I got a '68 Camaro. I'm gonna have to go check that out.
Dad,
So do I.
There we go. I've even got the top down on mine today, and it's raining outside, and I'm in the
garage,
studio.
Right?
Well, it's underneath a canopy here at the station, thank goodness.
Okay.
Your question today, sir.
My question was a reference to the Spy Shredder. I turn on the computer, and I've never had this computer hardwired, like to any type of landline or anything. I use a internet card.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it picked up that Spy Shredder offer that
you're getting a notice that says Spy Shredder found some problem on your computer.
Yes, 120 some files that are infected.
And this is a program you installed on your computer, right?
No, I don't remember ever installing it.
Okay,
and
that was why you said, maybe this isn't on the up and up, and that's exactly what it is. This is one of those malicious programs that sneaks into your computer, usually through another program or through a site that does what's called drive-by downloads. It sneaks its way into your computer, right? And then it sets up as some kind of security, like, hey, I'm here to protect you, and here I found all these problems, and for $29.95, or click here to download the program, and then eventually they say, okay, in order for this to work, you got to pay me.
Right.
That's a real sneaky way to sell product. Not good. The best way to understand any of these, in your case, all you have to do is just type Spy Shredder, all one word, into Google, and you'll see immediately all these people talking about how to remove this, because obviously it's bad stuff.
Okay.
But the bigger lesson here is, John, and thank you for calling with us. Anytime, folks, that you get some warning on your screen and you don't recognize the agent that's warning you, you didn't specifically spend money or have this particular product installed, that should be your first clue that there's something fishy going on here, and be like John and be suspicious. And then take and run on to Google, type in the name of the program that's giving you this warning, and a lot of times, immediately, bang, you'll see there's a lot of websites saying, oh, this thing's bad, and here's how you get rid of it. Make sense?
Thanks a lot. Thank you so much.
Good luck, John, and thanks for that tip on Racing Junk.
RacingJunk.com. Find everything you need.
RacingJunk.com. I love it.
Yes, sir.
All right, be safe out there.
Thanks for your show.
All right, bye-bye.
Got to be one of the most interesting names I've ever heard.
What, Racing Junk?
Racing Junk.
RacingJunk.com.
Just kind of makes me think of a pile of trash with wheels.
Well, you know, a lot of times that's exactly what it is. Speaking of wheels, since you brought that up, you know what that means.
Traffic.
It's time to figure out where your wheels should be going so you don't run into those parking lots they call a freeway from time to time. Steve Ludwig, tell them where to go. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn, Taylor Colburn, the data doctor's du jour. And we're talking about shopping online and some of the resources, some of the things that you may or may not have heard of that would be helpful this time of year. And please, if you are new to the online shopping world, there are a whole host of things that can happen in the holiday season. This is when the bad guys come out and try to trick you. And they're basically preying on the newbies, if you will. They're called new users to the shopping world that wouldn't necessarily be able to identify. You see a site that looks legitimate. In fact, we had it in our newsletter,
right?
And there was
Electronics for Less,
yeah, something like that. Very legitimate looking website. It's been reported all over the internet as being a complete
scam. Right.
Well, the things that aren't necessarily apparent unless you dig into it were they required you to send money orders to a P.O. box in like Milan, Italy or something.
Right.
There was nowhere to call. There was like okay. But I mean, again, if you just see this site and it looks legitimate.
Right, you would think.
And the other thing is they had pricing that was very, very,
very
attractive, right? So people are going, wow. Well,
I mean, I even looked at it, and there was like iPod Touch, $180. I'm like, whoa.
Exactly. And they try to take advantage of people's greed. I'm going to save all this money, and I know, but gosh, I'm going to get a great deal, so I'll take the chance and send the money. And they got you.
Retarded.
Credit cards. Your credit card has an enormous amount of protection for you. And if you don't understand what levels of protection you have, go check it out. You can use your debit card like a credit card, and most banks will protect you the same way they do a credit card. But if you make a purchase on a debit card as a debit, it doesn't give you the same type of protection as you get when you use it as a credit card. So understand those differences. If you can, just use your traditional credit cards when you make these purchases online. Another thing is, if you've not signed up for a secondary email address, if you are just getting into this thing and you're going to be buying things, instead of using your primary email address that you want to keep spam-free or at least minimized, sign up for one of these free mail accounts at Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail, any of these, and use that email account as the contact method for these online merchants, for all of them. That way, if it becomes overburdened with junk, because there's a very high likelihood you're going to get constant reminders or things saying, thanks for doing business with us or whatever, and slowly over time, you're going to start to get more and more of these advertisements. Use that secondary account for these purchases, because when it becomes overridden with junk and you just you just stop using it and just go sign up for another account and just use that for your shopping. So if you've not already adopted that procedure, there's another great tip from the Data Doctors for you today, this time of year. Go get that free account and use that for all of these. Right?
Right.
Yeah, instead of having your primary messages or your primary inbox just loaded with all the garbage. Let's go back to the phones and see if we can help Jim. Jim, you have some questions about all those updates that Microsoft's given you over time in your ad remove section, huh?
That's correct. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was concerned about that. You know, from time to time, I look at the control panel of the ad remove program. Sometimes I have to take things off, and I see all these updates from Windows, security updates, whatever. And I was wondering if this slows down my computer, should I be concerned about it? Can you remove them? Is there any harm in it? Or if they keep coming, you know, how is it going to affect my computer in the future?
Well, they don't. In and of themselves, the quantity and whatever don't slow down your computer any more than adding anything would do. What that is that's just this machine's been in service for several years. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you're just seeing the history of all the updates, and a lot of times these updates have been consolidated. So you've heard of these things called service packs.
Right.
Okay. What a service pack is a compilation of all those little individual things that you've seen over time. So in other words, you got them one at a time. When you get a service pack, you get a whole bunch of them all at once.
Right.
So even though, let's say in a newer machine, it shows that the service pack was installed, it's the exact same number of things or the combined or compressed version of the same thing that you already have. It's just that it's showing you every single entry.
Okay.
As it's happened, okay? So from the standpoint of is this an area that I should be concerned, or you shouldn't be messing around with that area. If there's other stuff that is non-Microsoft that you want to pull out of your machine,
right.
That's where I would start. But I wouldn't worry too much about these updates. If you were to start over again and, like, reinstall Windows and do a fresh install and then do the update from a fresh install, you wouldn't see all of those things, but you'd essentially still have them.
Okay,
because that's just built into the operating system now. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
My concern was, you know, the amount that, you know, if it keeps going, you know, like a year from now, you know, what would it be like? So
yeah, no, okay. And you, if you think about it, Windows itself is this huge collection of files and programs. I mean, tens of thousands, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's really what it is. It's just adding to those tens of thousands. So as an aggregate, as a percentage, it's really nothing.
All right.
Okay?
That's what I need to know. Thanks very much.
I'm glad we could help. Sure. Hey, is there anything you want to contribute to the listeners as far as something that you use on the Internet that's helpful?
Well, you know, I don't do very much shopping online on the Internet. I guess eBay and Craigslist would be the limit to my shopping, and I've, you know, had pleasant experiences with that. So, you know, no problem so far. So,
what kind of things do you do on Craigslist? Because I think that's the one that most people are least familiar with.
I look at unusual things that I can't find. You know, sometimes I see advertisements on the TV or places. So people might tell me about things, and if I want to get a bargain, I go to Craigslist and see if I can find it, you know, at a lower price. That's basically what I use it for.
Well, you know what? Then check out the link we have to Oodle, because that's very similar, but it scans, like, all the classifieds on the Internet.
Yeah, I wrote that down when I was listening earlier.
Links on our website, datadoctors.com. You just go to the radio show section, and you'll see at the bottom all the stuff we talked about. The links are down there, okay?
Oh, great.
Hey, thanks for calling, great. And thanks for your participation. I was going to say precipitation. That's what's outside. Yeah, well, that's every week, isn't it?
It's true.
We've got another half an hour of computer talk, technology talk, shopping talk, shop till we stop, I guess. And welcome back to the Shop Till You Drop edition of the Computer Corner. And what could be better from the Shop Till You Drop department than to bring in folks that know how to shop?
The three most unprofessional people in the building right now. That's my microphone. Those are my headphones.
Joining us now is the Click Chick, Gail Bass.
Good morning. I mean, good afternoon. I've been up a while.
And Lisa, I'm sorry, Lisa.
I don't have a cool name like
Wilcox.
That.
I know that, but I'm trying to come up with the
I need a cool nickname. I don't. I need some kind of chick name.
Something to do with the web,
hot
though.
Mom.
Something to do with the web.
Hot.
The web.
She went as
as a Barbie doll for Halloween. She looked fabulous.
Yeah.
Latina Barbie.
Did you shop online for any of those things?
No, I just used what was left over in the closet. But
you know what? Those old bridesmaid gowns.
Yeah,
I have a whole collection of them.
Now,
seven of them.
Speaking of clothing, you mentioned that you had a particular site that you thought was fabulous for a certain product.
You know what? I love Overstock.com, and you know what? You gave the best advice just before the break when you were telling people to get separate email accounts for all the email, because Overstock will email you every day with free shipping. Like this weekend, it's $1 shipping on Overstock, but they have the best designer dresses for good prices. I got a dress for a wedding about a month ago, and everybody was asking me about the dress, and I wasn't even the bride.
Okay, now hang on a second. You bought clothing
on the internet
from a website.
Yeah, I did.
And how the heck do you know whether it's going to
fit? You don't. Okay. I buy clothes all the time. Yeah. A blouse I wore Wednesday night. I got off of Spiegel because they had a sale. Because they sent me an email.
So what happens when you get it and it doesn't fit?
You send it back. Some places give you an envelope where you could just fold it. They fold it like the envelope that it comes in. Make sure you open it on the dotted line where they tell you to, because if it doesn't fit, you want to send it back. They still have sticky tape so you could fold it over again if you stick it back in, and you can mail it back to them.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
It might cost you something. Depends on the retailer. But
I'm saying the shipping, they've already taken care of shipping it back.
No, if you send it back, it might cost you something. Oh. It depends on the retailer.
That's why I don't buy... the only clothing I'll buy online and closure is Victoria's Secret. Because I can go to the store and find out if it fits.
Really?
And,
am I 12?
I haven't bought online from them in a while.
What am I, 12? No, you're 14.
You're 14. Yeah.
He just walks by the store in the mall. He doesn't hang out in there.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when you say Victoria's Secret, you have to say Victoria's Secret.
Actually,
is that part of the deal?
She told me to cover my ears. That's what I said.
I have to turn my back because I feel a little awkward talking about, under things.
I'm sure once you find an online retailer that sells clothing that you like, and you have an idea of how their clothes fit and everything.
Well, Eddie Bauer has, like, they have an outlet mall, so if you don't like it, you could try at the store. It's not guaranteed, but if it's like Talbot's or something like that and they have a store, always check with the store first before you mail something back.
Are you aware of any? This is, remember the .com era?
Mm-hmm.
This is known as a .bam, which means brick and mortar. In other words, they have an internet presence,
mm-hmm.
and then they have a brick and mortar presence.
Right.
But a lot of times you can't return to the
store. What I'm saying.
Sometimes you can, though.
Yeah, a good .bam configuration allows you to actually make a purchase online and still interact with the local store for returns or service.
You know what's great about Eddie Bauer is that they know whatever you buy online or in the store, and you get credit for everything together. They kind of aggregate the whole thing, so you get, they send you deals and everything.
No, they try to figure out. It's just like the mm-hmm. thank you card when you go to the grocery store, right?
Oh, absolutely.
They're gonna figure out.
You told me not to do that like about 6 years ago.
Me?
Yes, you did. You said they know too much information about you.
Oh, no.
Just like you, like that Google checkout. You're trying to convince me about Google checkout, and here's my problem with that. With these big things like Google and AOL and everything, you know that they're going to get some kind of warrantless wiretap on the click chick, and they're going to find out what I've been buying, and the next thing you know, I'm on a no-fly list.
Have you been to the New Times website?
My God.
Yes, I have been to the New Times. I offered a warning to our listeners because I've linked to it a couple of times from the Click Chick blog. So you never know what the county attorney's been looking at.
Can I maybe make the hysteria a little less of an issue?
Oh, yeah, it's your show.
No, that's fine. Do you really think all the stuff you're concerned about isn't already out there in databases?
Of course it's out there, okay. But I don't want it to be magnified. No, I use Google a lot, and I love Gmail, and I think that's like a one-stop shop. And the easier they make it to where, like on Amazon, I just click a button and I buy something.
And that's essentially what Google Checkout is. They're trying to make it, but instead of it just being usable on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
you can use it across all of the merchants that are participating in Google Checkout. So,
I'll probably sign up for it anyway.
They're all going to end up with this information anyway.
I'm probably going to sign up for it anyway.
Yeah.
Just like they know when you get a raise, they all of a sudden raise your credit card limit. How do they know that? You know it's on the internet somewhere. It's out there. It's out there.
Well, she's getting a little conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is kind of getting fun. I'm just watching her. Her eyes are all bugging out. She's like, they know they're going to get you.
I'll bet your neck gets sore from looking behind you all the time.
Not at all. I'm not afraid.
One last thing before we go back to the phones. Any advice of what not to do, what to stay away from? What kind of things have you learned that you know, I'll never do that again? Any of those knowledge,
you know, be careful.
Nuggets of knowledge?
Like, if you're buying a formal gown, be careful when you're ordering from a specialty store. If it's not like a brick and mortar that you know about, if it's just a store that has a website and you're ordering a dress and you need it by a certain date, or you're ordering a jacket or slacks, be careful, because they don't have an operation like a warehouse where they have tons of stuff waiting for you. If they have to make it or create it, you need to allot yourself a lot of time when you're ordering those holiday gifts or something for yourself. I ordered something and it said, oh, yeah, we have some in stock. And then I got an email 2 days later.
Out of stock.
And they told me, we're not going to ship it till December 22nd. Well, I needed to wear it the weekend before Thanksgiving. That wasn't helpful.
So those
are things you need to think about when you order from somebody that's a small retailer, as opposed to like Spiegel or Eddie Bauer something like that.
Taylor, you're going to remember that.
Secret.
I don't know where that store is.
Now, remember that. The Click Chick gave you very clear advice the next time you order a dress online. Okay?
Yeah.
And my friend's 14-year-old son told me once in the mall randomly, just so you know, that apparently he was told when he was 14 that you're not allowed in Victoria's Secret unless you're 18. And I said, how do you know that? He goes, I just do. And so I just thought I'd
just
give you a little heads up on that one.
I just do.
Well, you tuned into the computer corner, but you get a whole lot more than just technology talk
It's so well-rounded. It's so technical.
We're all here for you.
So a bunch of girls in there.
And we do appreciate you joining us today.
And then the 14-year-old guy apparently doesn't know about Victoria's Secret.
That was the cool brush-off. Thank you for joining us today. Yeah. That means we have to leave now.
Yeah, because Jim's been waiting for a while.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Jim actually has a question about being an online merchant himself.
That's correct. I'm getting ready to start up a website for some items I'm going to be selling. And what I wanted to know is when you Google something, now let's say Christmas trees, how does Google determine what websites come up first? Because you can get like 2 million websites.
Yes.
Obviously, people aren't going to go through all those.
No, 90% of the people don't go past the first page.
Right.
So you really, if you're not in the top three or four or five, now this is where it gets a little complicated. And this is if you don't mind girls hanging out, because I think your feedback on what you look at when Google brings you the results, I think it would be very helpful for Jim to understand, because then he can make a decision about how he wants to put himself out there. The links that you see where it comes up and says here's number one, number two, number three, number four, that's known as what's called a natural search result, okay? The way that the website is created determines how Google says this is the most relevant site, okay? And there's about 900 things that you have to know about that constantly changes for your website to be in that top stratosphere, especially for something very competitive like Christmas tree. See, if nobody's competing with you for that phrase, then it's real easy. Like data doctors, okay, if you type in data doctors in Google, because we're data doctors, not a lot of other people are going to try to put up a website that are going to compete to try to get, so chances are my site's going to come up because it says data doctors on there a lot, and I've got a lot of pages, and it's pretty obvious to Google that this is the most relevant data doctors website. Does that make sense?
Right.
When you get into generics, so like computer repair, which is our primary service, that's a very competitive word. So it's a much more difficult word for me to get placement on, because there's tens of thousands of people all competing to get Google to say this is the number one page, okay? So when you look at the search results, there's three different areas that you as a retailer want to look at. One is the natural search, which is a very difficult, very expensive process to be able to get to the top and stay on very competitive words. It's going to require you to hire somebody, really, an agency to do that.
Okay.
Unless you're going after really small words that nobody else is competing with. Two would be something that's called Google AdWords. Okay, and you'll see these sponsored links that go across the top and the side. You girls know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys look at that and go, there's relevant information here? Do you always just ignore those?
Yes. Yeah, I just automatically ignore them. I will not automatically ignore them.
They look like they're scams. Like, they're like, hey, free iPod. I typed in Christmas tree.
Yeah. You know what I think? Computer problems. I think if I click on one of those ads on the side, I'm going to get all these pop up, and one of them's going to, you know, do something to my hard drive.
Well, okay. I just assume that they paid to be on that site.
That is correct.
They're not necessarily what I'm looking for, so I go to the
Well, actually,
search.
Google does a really good job of making sure that those ads are also very relevant.
Oh, really?
So they have a whole algorithm. It gets pretty complicated as to how they decide who's going to be number one and number two. It's not just by how much you pay. It's by how relevant you are, how many times people actually click on your ad. It's called the click-through rate. So the higher your click-through rate is, the more likely you're going to go to the top, even though you're not paying as much per click.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if I have a higher click-through rate, so if I have a 2% click-through rate and you have a 1% click-through rate, I pay 50, you're bidding a dollar per click.
Mm-hmm.
I only have to pay 51 cents, and I'm going to be higher than you because I get two clicks for every one of yours. Google actually makes an extra 2 cents.
Yes.
So you see the algorithm's completely different from what you would think it is.
Yeah, because I thought that they just got the more you paid, the more
right,
visible.
Right, it's a lot more sophisticated. So, Jim, that's an area where you can immediately start to bid on putting your ad in front of people for these very competitive keywords. But the same competition may also occur for those very competitive words from that standpoint. But that's something you can actively go sign up for a Google AdWords account. It'll teach you how the thing works, and there's a lot of resources out there on how to make sure that Google AdWords, that you understand what you're doing there.
Right,
but the amount of time you spend learning is going to result in how much better you become. So the resources, look at Google AdWords, okay, google.com/AdWords, and learn about that.
Should you Google?
Yeah, you can Google if you want. And then the third area, which is absolutely free, is if you have a location, if you're a physical company, you can submit to Google's local section.
I use that
okay,
all the time. Yeah.
Which is very relevant, and it doesn't cost you anything. And so if you said Christmas trees in Florence, Arizona, if somebody typed that in, then your Google local listing would come up in between all of that stuff. And I think a lot of people look at that as being probably the first thing they look at.
Who knew they grew Christmas trees in Florence, Arizona? I thought it was just a state prison down there.
No, Florence is
something to
it's a megalopolis now.
It must have grown since the last time I was down there.
You wouldn't recognize
rocks
it.
Yeah, plant Christmas trees.
It's grown.
Does that help you, Jim?
Yes, it
okay.
does.
One other thing, if you really want to understand the whole search engine world, there's a website called searchenginewatch.com.
Okay.
And it's kind of technical, but there's a whole lot of information. They constantly monitor what's going on because the search engines, Google changes pretty regularly, and they don't tell anybody because that's their secret sauce. They change what's called their algorithm that determines who's at the top. So even though you're at the top today, you could be number two or number five or even number 9,000 tomorrow because they made some adjustment to how they rate sites.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So another thing you can do that'll help you get better placement with Google is to get other people to link to your website. They're called reciprocal links,
right?
Or link exchanging, because then Google says other people like your site, therefore you must be relevant. So, all right.
Okay.
There's your
thank
homework.
You very much.
There's your homework assignment, and I've run a little long. Girls, thank you so much. We're gonna have to go to Steve Ludwig to find out what else is going on out there.
Girls,
are they still slip sliding away out there, Steve? Winding down the last of the Shop Till You Drop segment here, the show, the Computer Corner. I've got a heck of a cast of helpers.
Oh, we're helpful now.
Well,
yeah.
I said goodbye, and then I said, no, you guys should stay. They were so helpful, Lisa and Gail.
They were.
Right?
Definitely.
We just got a few more minutes. We can, we can tell you ladies and gents how to spend your holiday cash.
So any other tips that you've come across there before?
Well, I love Overstock.com also, you know, but I don't buy clothes or shoes online because I need to see how something feels. You know, I need to try on, and I'm just weird shaped and sized, so I just don't like.
Yeah,
I'd have to return so much. Oh, stop!
Poor thing.
I'd have to return too many things. So electronics, books, I think are great. I'll use like Amazon.com or something like that as a base.
So
then I'll go find a cheaper one.
What do you do to make sure that they're not scamming you on the shipping or their return policy or any of those things? How do you figure out? I mean, this, for people that have never actually taken the step, they've never shopped online, never purchased anything, what is it? What was the thing that kind of got you over the hurdle? to where you're like, okay, this is cool.
Well, because I really didn't like shopping online, but I don't like shopping in the stores either. So
you just don't like shopping?
I don't. No, I really don't.
It is a bit of a headache. It's you don't want to sit there and try on clothes. I never do.
I hate.
Imagine sitting in a chair watching people try on clothes, and now you're in my position.
He's like, hi, I'm a boy. No,
that's your cross to bear, my friend.
I just end up buying clothes and then trying them on at home and returning them because I don't like to try on stuff. But anyway, online.
Yeah, there was a time when you didn't. Yeah.
I think actually it was when I bought my computer from Overstock like 4 or 5 years ago. What I do is I just make sure that what I buy, the chances of me having to return it or wanting to return it are extremely small.
Minimized.
Because I don't want to return things. Sure. Because I don't want to go to the post office. I don't want to pay shipping. I don't want to put the bag.
I bought two of the cutest pair of shoes, $4 a pair from Overstock.com, and my shipping was free. So I thought, if these shoes don't fit, I'll give them to one of my girlfriends or I'll give them away. And that's like $8 that was well spent either as a donation or for me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't even think that I had to return them because they were so cheap. It wasn't worth it to send them back. But I think I started shopping online because I like to buy stuff out of catalogs. And when I started reading that the stuff in the catalogs was online, I thought, well, this is a ridiculous waste of paper. Why don't I just look online and see what they have?
Save the trees.
And then I discovered, hey, this tells you if they still have it in stock or not. So I was sold, you know, a while ago to shopping online. I hardly ever return anything, even if I don't use it. I just farm it off to somebody else.
And if it doesn't fit, you must.
you must.
Donate.
Yeah, I don't want it to fold back up and
put it in the package and go to the post office.
Yeah, I don't want it sitting around the house and stuff.
Okay, but are there certain things you always look at if it's a new website that has an interesting product? What is it that you do to determine I'm going to take a chance and do business with these folks?
You could go to Snopes.com and check out. You know, if it's
Snopes
a
is urban myths though, isn't it?
Yeah, they do. Hey, but they tell about websites because I gave a website. Somebody sent me a website about sending cards to soldiers, and apparently you can't just send cards to soldiers anywhere. You have to go through certain groups because it's, you know, they don't want anonymous stuff sent through the mail because they got to check everything.
Right.
So Snopes said, you know, you can't do it this way, even though people say you can. So you could check. They sometimes do websites, sometimes they do, you know, sending people stuff in the mail, but just find. All you have to do is Google something. Like, a great thing to do in Google is to say you're looking up a website. Don't click on the website. Click on news when you click on Google, and you'll see all the news stories about the website. And that's when you'll find stuff out about websites that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, if it's a sketchy website, it'll definitely be
in
the news.
Yeah, somebody will have written about it in the New York Times or KTAR.com.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Nice little point.
Name dropping.
Hey, which, by the way, one of the, you know, my weekly column you post, I actually got an angry call from somebody I wrote about.
I changed it. I know, but the
fact that they saw it on the KTAR website.
But how you don't call the other content editors and call them on their cell phone during dinner and say, could you change my blog?
Well, but that's a love thing.
I think we're getting off topic here now.
All right, well, listen, girls, thanks for helping out here. If you want more.